Welcome to Terra Loco Endless Possibilities. I'm your host, Tracy McRae. Endless Possibilities is the sister podcast of our Terra Loco Fast Five podcast, during which we're going to share stories of Terra Loco customers and their adventures of all sorts. And starting us off on our maiden voyage is Lindsay Young. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
So you tell me about where the road led you. What did you do that was quite an adventure most recently?
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking. It's fun to reminisce about a trip that I just took about a month ago now. It started about, several years ago. I went to Chile, South America. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who was studying there at the time and had an incredible opportunity to go to Easter Island and do just some incredible vacationing, if you will. And that trip happened during our summer, South American winter.
Okay.
There was always this desire to go to Patagonia, but it really wasn't possible with the time constraints and the seasonal difference. And so it had always been on my bucket list to go back to Patagonia and I'll probably hike, mm-hmm. just because that's, you know, what you do there. Mm-hmm. And this last summer, I found myself just feeling kind of restless. I work as a nurse practitioner. I take care of patients who are undergoing bone marrow transplants. And every day I see patients' lives cut too short.
Interesting.
And I see people who have just retired be diagnosed with a condition,
sure.
that prevents them from doing all the things that they wish they could do.
They had put off doing until they retired.
Exactly. And so I am really just in my life leaning into doing what I can right now to just live.
So the itch last summer led you to a hike in Patagonia.
Yeah. So I started Googling, as sure. one does. I've done some adventure.
What did we do if you wanted to go on a hike like this before the internet? You just show up there and say, hey, where do I go hiking?
I'm so grateful that I never had to figure that out.
It is crazy.
I've done a few adventure trips with women's adventure companies in the past, mm-hmm. With a company called Adventures in Good Company, and that took me on my first and only trip to the Boundary Waters.
Okay.
I felt like to be an authentic Minnesotan, I had to have a Boundary Waters experience, and it did exactly what I needed it to do. It taught me how to do it and to experience it, and I loved it. And then I went a few more years later on another trip with the same company to a trip on the North Shore in the winter. And so it was dog sledding and cross-country skiing and snowshoeing and things like that. So I had a little bit of familiarity with guided trips and just showing up by myself with a group of strangers and just making it work, because I've decided that you can't just not do things because you don't necessarily have someone to go do it with.
So you Googled, I want to hike Patagonia.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I
and then
I
Instagram really started feeding me options, as it does.
Awesome. Well, like, really, where do you go? How do you get, what do you do? So first of all, how do you fly there? What was your flight?
It was, so Tracy, that was the worst part of this experience.
Well, I guess that's good.
That's right. So, to get to nearly the southernmost tip of South America is no small feat. So I originally had a flight itinerary that took me from Minneapolis to Atlanta, Atlanta to Santiago, Chile, Santiago, Chile to Puerto Natales, Chile.
Okay.
So I had four connections to make. And the day I was leaving on February 20th, my flight was delayed before I even left my home. And so I rebooked.
So you missed this and you missed
that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It is such a domino effect.
Sure.
So I rebooked before I even left my house. Had to get to the airport about an hour and a half earlier than I had planned. But that all worked out. And so now I was going to fly through JFK instead of Atlanta. And I got checked in Minneapolis and got to my gate only to have that flight, because they were waiting on a plane coming from Rochester, of all the things, right?
Oh, boy.
Of all, like, just the way it goes. So that flight was delayed no less than four times, which would mean I would land in New York approximately a minute before my international connection. And so, of course, I missed that flight. So I spent the night in New York City. Not in the airport. I got out of the airport and went to a hotel. I had about an 18-hour layover. Mm. But I retrieved my checked hiking bag and all the things, just because. And this was
That's amazing.
I was so lucky. I'd never done that before. I went to the Delta baggage claim and said, how do I get this? And they said, well, it'll take about 45 minutes, and you should go to this baggage claim. And I went and I waited, and I was losing faith very quickly. and then it got really cold where I was sitting. And I looked and there was a garage door that had opened right by a sign that said oversized bags. And I thought, my hiking bag isn't really oversized, but it's not the standard.
Sure.
And so I walked over there and there it was. And I thought, okay, things are looking up. Made it to a hotel for night. This was the same weekend that there was a huge impending snowstorm coming to the East Coast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so this was Saturday, and that snow was predicted for Sunday. Oh, this was Friday night into Saturday. And I thought, I love a good snowstorm. I love a good snowstorm.
But not when I'm trying to get to South America.
South America, exactly. I do not want to be stranded somewhere in a hotel room during a snowstorm. So I made it back to the airport the next day and checked in way ahead of my flight, but just wanted to be there. And lo and behold, I got on my flight to Santiago, and then had to take a domestic flight. And actually, to back all this up, I had to buy an additional plane ticket because my original itinerary, the airline I was flying, wouldn't even fly to my final destination on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I had to just abandon that last leg of my trip and book a separate ticket while I was in the airport at MSP. Anyway, it all worked out and I made it. So I was dropped off at the Minneapolis airport at 11 a.m. on Friday, and at 4:15 in the afternoon on Sunday, I made it to my final destination. So about 50 hours of travel.
You traveled with a group of women.
Well, so that part was on my own.
Okay.
Because I was meeting the group there.
But you met the group there.
Yeah.
Okay, so was that group people from Minnesota or people from America?
They were from all over. Well, from America. And actually, so I mentioned the travel company that I have done Northern Minnesota travels with. And this was a different company, actually. So this, the company that I traveled with for this adventure was called She Moves Mountains.
I saw that tag on your social media.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'd never traveled with them before. Primarily, they do mountaineering type adventures, which I have no desire to do. Mm-hmm. But they do this one trek. And so it just seemed like the right fit. So I knew no one. I knew that there were 9 of us, and then we would have 2 Chilean women guides.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and that just sounds awesome.
Yeah. So when I was getting repeatedly delayed in the airport, I was on my WhatsApp group messaging saying,
your new friends.
Yes.
So technically not strangers by the time you got there.
What is the last possible time I can arrive to still make this trek?
Right.
And they were wonderful. The guides were great. They were the ones who helped me realize you have to buy a new plane ticket. You have to just, you know, do it this way and it's going to work out. Because really the itinerary of the trip had a day built in for renting trekking poles and making sure you had everything you need and debriefing and things. So I missed that.
Sure.
But made it in time for the group dinner the night before we departed and just got the Cliff Notes version and got up to date.
Okay. So you said this was a 9-day hike?
No, it was about 5 days.
5 days. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have to carry stuff for 5 days. Yes. And I'm sure it's just like the Boundary Waters, pack in, pack out.
Yes, exactly. This was easier in that regard, though. I didn't have to carry like any sleeping, no tent, no sleeping bag, no pillow, no just limited food.
Okay.
Because we were hiking like refugio to refugio.
Okay.
So our...
What does that mean?
So that looked like an area that was kind of like cafeteria style.
Okay.
That would be a building at each spot along the trail where we had a designated time for our group to come in to have a meal. And so you're sharing a space with people from all over the world doing this. We were doing the W Trek in Torres del Paine National Park. And then, so you would just go through a line and get your meal for breakfast and dinner. And then they would send you on your way with like a box lunch, if you will, for during the day. And then the accommodations were different at each spot. Like one spot we slept in what you would consider like a rooftop tent that you'd put like on top of a truck.
Okay.
But they were just mounted in the side of like a hillside.
Okay.
And they just, our guides just split us up like you two in this one, you two in this one, etc. And so I roomed with Riley. She was an occupational therapist that lives in Oregon for the whole trip, just in whatever our accommodations were. So we were in that area for 2 nights. And then another night we were in like little A-frame cottages that were just amazing. And then another night we were in just like a tent village. Just think the regular tent you would pitch when you're going camping.
Right.
And then each place had like, you know, shared shower places and things like that.
What was the weather like? So it was winter here. It must have been summery there.
Yes.
Or fall? Was it
in
fall?
Nearing fall.
Yes. Okay.
So there were a few. So there were a few hints of like orange in the leaves and things.
I saw on some of your photos.
Yes. So the temperature was the lowest, like in the 40s, and highest in like the 60s. It rained only one day, which was a good experience too, to have to just hike in the rain. But I mean, we got to see rainbows that way. So it was not bad. It was not bad at all. And, you know, you put your rain cover on your pack and you wear a jacket and you just, you know, your feet are wet, but you wear the right socks and you just go with it.
I just know you as a runner because I see you.
Yeah.
As we're going back and forth on Saturdays or whatever. And I didn't, are you a hiker too? Or did you just kind of add this to your repertoire?
I feel like I've just kind of added it to my repertoire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've done some just like casual day hikes here and there, but backpacking is something that's very new to me.
So how did that go for your body physically?
It went well. And I think that had to do with, they gave us like a packing list and recommendations for like a size of a pack to purchase. Okay. And I went for like the smaller end, knowing if I bought a bigger one, I would just fill it.
Sure.
And knowing that I didn't have to carry like everything. It was really just my personal effects.
So then did you put that backpack on and walk the steps of the Gonda, or how did you train for this?
I wish. I didn't do that. I definitely spent many mornings before work with the treadmill at like a 12 and a half, just hiking up, because there were also recommendations about training for it.
Yeah.
And I remember telling people, I was like, I want to believe that I'm fit enough to do this, but I don't know. And I also told a lot of friends, starting this trip felt a lot like I always feel at the start of a marathon. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have trained harder. I wish I would have done more. Did I do enough? Can I really do this? Like a lot of that self-doubt. And really, I did just fine. The last day, I felt like I do at the end of a marathon, where I had about nothing left and my legs were finally sore.
But in a marathon, if you were sleeping and then getting up and finishing, like each day you'd be like, I just do not want to get up and finish today.
Yeah. But so it was no big deal. But I think it was very well designed. Like the first day was about 4 miles of hiking. The next day was more like 6, and there was nice downtime. And then the next day was like 8, and then 2 like 12-mile days or so. Okay. It was just shy of about 50 miles is what we hiked.
What happened along this? I mean, it sounds like they were prepared for anything that might come up, but what happened that you didn't plan for? Anything besides the flights getting there?
Besides the travel getting there. Gosh, a couple of us were a little bit sick one day, and I think that was just, you know, very new place, new food, new water. I mean, the water was drinkable and the food was safe, but things like that just happen.
Did you have altitude problems?
No, because the highest altitude was about 3,000 feet.
Okay.
So I was grateful for that. But you just kind of have to press on.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you got this itch last summer. You said, you know, you work with people who are undergoing treatments that maybe they, you know, nobody wants.
Right.
Has this given you, like, I checked the box now?
Oh.
Or has it all of a sudden, I think about it like marathons. I'm like, yep, I did my marathon, I'm done. And then other people are like, oh no, it's the gateway drug.
Yeah.
So which are you?
Oh, well, there are so many more places in the world I want to see.
Okay, got it.
And I'm definitely more of an adventure traveler than just go sit on the beach kind of person.
Yeah.
There's just so many beautiful places in this world to see. And I just, I feel like I've got a lot of time and I want to just fill it up.
It sounds like you would totally recommend the Shimu's Mountains and Adventures in Good Company.
I would.
I like how you started off in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. I know, we started very locally,
but
with women from across the country. And this trip was the same. It was women from across the country. There were 9 of us, like I said. The oldest woman was 65, and she was more fit than any of us,
awesome.
For sure. And then I was, you know, I'm 43. I was right in the middle. And then the rest, like many of the women in my group were in their like late 20s, early 30s, all like young professionals who just wanted to do this. One of them had done a mountaineering trip with the company, but the rest of us, it was brand new to us. We just, this was like a bucket list place, and this was the way to do it.
What is the main question that people ask you when you got back? What did everybody want to know?
Very generally, you know, like, how was it? Was it beautiful? But I feel like the question, too, about, like, was it really hard? Yeah. And it really, it wasn't. It really, it wasn't that bad. Yeah.
Where is your next itch starting to form to take you?
Gosh.
Is it just itching and you haven't figured that out yet?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I have a few trips on the docket, but nothing like this.
Oh, where are you going next?
In just a few weeks, I'm going to Amsterdam to see the tulips.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so a very different style of trip, but, you know, there is beauty to behold.
I bet you could find some good hikes there as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing your adventure, Lindsay.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Terra Loco's Endless Possibilities. If you have an adventure to share with our audience, let us know the next time you're in the shore. Thanks for listening.